We have a pathbreaker named Abraham that we're going to be studying. And everybody who is a hero, ultimately, in some way, is a pathbreaker. And to be a pathbreaker, one thing especially is necessary. Hate to break you this news, but it's true of everybody in the Hall of Fame of God. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, yesterday, there were named new additions to the NFL Hall of Fame. A great Vikings lineman named Randall McDaniel. From all accounts, a very good guy. Not only in terms of his football skills, 12 consecutive all-star appearances, all-pro appearances, but also a godly man, a man of good character, was named to the Hall of Fame. And a couple other people, including Chris Carter, who's another Christian, was not. And it's a great honor to be named to a Hall of Fame. You got to have certain numbers. McDaniel was an offensive lineman, so he didn't have any numbers. Everybody just knew he was the best there was. But what a wonderful honor it is to have some special mention of Hall of Fame. And we're going to talk about God's Hall of Famers all year long. And one of them mentioned repeatedly in the Bible is a man called Abraham. And he was a pathbreaker, like all God's people are pathbreakers. And a pathbreaker is required. To go someplace out of the comfort zone. Out of the comfort zone. You know, many Christians look for a church in which they'll be comfortable. They look for a calling in which they'll be comfortable. They want one of those nice, very high quality cotton sheets over a lovely down comforter they can snuggle up in and feel good about. They want to live a life of comfort rather than a life of challenge. They'd rather be a spectator than in the dirt, sweat, grit, and blood of the arena. And that's understandable because there is something nice about being cozy. Having a fire crackling in the fireplace and a comfortable chair with ottoman and seeing the lovely snowflakes fall outside your lovely window in the warmth of a comfortable home. But that's not the path to greatness because God calls his people out of their comfort zone. And in fact, when a person becomes a Christian, that person is called out of his comfort zone. When a person walks the sawdust trail, when a person raises his hand, when a person invites Christ into his life, when he hears the stirrings of the Holy Spirit within him, and he makes a decision to repent, come out from the world, give his life wholeheartedly to Christ, he's taking a step into an unknown future. The conviction is heavy on his heart. He knows what he has to do. But yet, the devil wants to keep him in his comfort zone. And once a person steps out of the comfort zone in salvation, then the devil tries to get him into a comfort zone in terms of sanctification. Not making any tough decisions anymore. Not coming out from the world anymore. Not separating from worldly things anymore. But be comfortable by being like other people similarly situated. Just talked to a person recently who'd come from very, very strong background and godly standards. And now the person has settled into a comfortable church, which has some very good doctrine. But all they do is talk about the decrees of God and salvation. And that's good in all the aspects of it. He said the comforting thing to him is that they never make any applications from Scripture. None. And they don't think a person should. They don't think the Proverbs is really for our time. They think people make their own decisions. And so they make no application whatsoever. And they actually boast about it. Now, it's hard to read the Scriptures as I read them, or the book of James is just we got out of. And suggest that God doesn't want you to apply his truth to every single area of your life. And when you start applying it, there's an unlimited number of areas you can apply it to, and your whole life is a series of decisions you need to make, whether to go the world's way or God's way. And the devil says, find a comfortable place for your spiritual life where you won't be pricked too much by conscience. Now, if the devil can't get you in a comfortable place so you don't get saved, because it's uncomfortable to be saved, it's uncomfortable to go through that straight gate. He'll try to get you into a comfortable place in terms of sanctification. And if he can't get you into a comfortable place there, he'll get you into a comfortable place in your service for God. Because it's a lot more comfortable to be simply feeding at a restaurant than actually serving the Lord. And serving the Lord and doing things for him and being active for him, being zealous for him, being active until he comes again, is called out of the comfort zone. That's why Abraham is a great pathbreaker, because Abraham found the joy and the benefits of leaving his comfort zone. And I see people all the time making that decision. I'm loving comfort as much as anybody. I have never turned down a first-class upgrade on a flight. I never have. Well, I did once this week, but I was just being a good husband. But I like comfort as much as the next guy. I always feel a little sorry when Christians start rationalizing their life and give you a very good explanation of why it's important for them to be in their comfort zone. And Abraham never, never went back to a comfort zone. And for that reason, he's a pathbreaker and a hero of faith. Let's talk about Abraham in Ur. We have here a comfortable place. A comfortable place. Because here, there was familiarity. He was 75 years old, and he was very familiar with Ur, and then later spending years in Haran. He settled in. He knew the language. He knew the food. He knew the customs. Now, they did worship Sin. Well, that was the name of a god, actually. S-I-N. That's a nice name for a god. Huh? If you're going to worship a god, which god do you worship? Ah, I kind of like Sin. Okay, well, you certainly walk the walk, as well as talk the talk on worshiping Sin. But he knew it. He was familiar with it. You know, it's nice to have the what they call comfort foods. I'm always amazed. You go to a really fine restaurant today, and they'll serve it with macaroni and cheese. I asked somebody, well, people like comfort foods. You know, things they grew up with. Their mom used to make a macaroni and cheese, so they come for some little delicacy. You can't get full on, you know, these little things in nice restaurants. But then they'll heap on a scoop of macaroni and cheese. We're comfortable with certain things. That's nice. There's a certain way you celebrate Thanksgiving. There's a certain way you guys celebrate Christmas. There's ways that you announce the birthday of a family member, as we just did today, with Libby being fully emancipated. Well, not quite. Fully emancipatable. As her 18th birthday, February 1st. There's certain things you do that are comfortable, nice, they're traditional. And there's something very comfortable about being familiar. And there's something very uncomfortable about being unfamiliar. For those of you who traveled to a strange country and you don't know exactly how they organize things, and you go try to buy something at 2 o'clock and it's siesta, and you try to find a meal at 7 p.m. and they don't start serving till 9:30. You know, all of a sudden, everything seems uncomfortable. Now, if you know some of the Indo-European languages, you can kind of guess what an apotheke is. That's a drugstore in various kinds of forms of language. Then you go to Finland, and you can't figure out any of the language because it's totally unique. And then you're really at a loss, and you just have to talk to some English speaker and look like a dummy and figure out what you're doing. It's uncomfortable to be in an unfamiliar place. And that's why God says to be nice to strangers. Because strangers are uncomfortable. And if you can take a stranger under your wing and kind of get them situated, get them acclimated, give them directions, then you've done something good. And I remember looking for an hour and a half for the Isstadion in Stockholm, the ice stadium, because there was a game there. And I'll never forget when I pulled over to the side of the street, a very nice-looking Swedish gentleman. I asked directions to the East Stadion. He looked at me and said, "Oi, oi, oi." I knew I was in trouble then. Oje, oje, oje. Oi, oi, oi. Well, it's nice to be able to direct people, give comfort to people. And here he was in a very good comfort zone. Not only did he have the comfort of familiarity, but the comfort of friends. You know, friends are very comforting. And for people who want to be in a comfortable place, they want to meet people like them. They want to be with friends. And the more friends they have in a place, the greater social network they have, the more comfortable they feel. You come to a place where you don't have friends, and it is a little uncomfortable. Now, some people are naturally garrulous, engaging. They make friends right away. Other people, like certain, at least to kind of the edge of the periphery, they don't feel comfortable. Now, here, Abraham had all kinds of friends, especially when you're very rich. You have a lot of friends, Proverbs says. And Abraham certainly had that. The third thing he had in Ur was financial security. He was, as it were, a prince in his land of Ur the Chaldees. We hear Ur the Chaldees, it's not a mythical place. In fact, it was one of the most thriving capitals of the ancient world. There are wonderful archaeological remains from 2900 BC. If you go to the Oriental Institute in Chicago, you'll find some wonderful things from Ur of the Chaldees that are well preserved from 2900 BC. As a matter of fact, it was a fabulously wealthy place. Wealth comes, as Adam Smith reminds us in The Wealth of Nations, from trade, an exchange. Nations get wealthier and wealthier the more they trade. And economy works when there's trade, when there's a market. A free market is the greatest engine of economic growth because people exchange things. And therefore, the pie gets bigger. Everybody's wealth generally gets bigger. And Ur of the Chaldees was right in the middle of a basic trade route with Nineveh and Babylon and Damascus, ancient cities. It was legendary how rich it was. In fact, you can go to other great archaeological museums around the world, and you can find gold, silver treasures from Ur that'll knock your socks off. So when you were a big shot in Ur, you were not a big fish in a small pond. You were a big fish in a very big pond. And here, Abraham had everything going his way. He had everything that you would suggest would lead to great comfort. Why in the world would you go elsewhere? My saintly mother was at a church that we came when I came out of back from Oxford in South Minneapolis, and she had so many friends there and dear saints, and we had a very comfortable time. And then God called us here with the kids who were on a waiting list and had nobody to minister to them. And my mother told me that one time she was sitting, before we even got that call, she was sitting at the church, and it was like the Lord said to her, "You're pretty comfortable here, aren't you, Ruth?" And she said, "Uh-oh." That was my mother. And so people were amazed that at her age, she was able freely to leave, well, very good terms. I mean, it was all on perfect agreement. Friendships continued, no nastiness or anything like that. Still dear friendships and whatever, but God called and led to certain circumstances where this church started. And they were just amazed because, especially older people, you know, they like being with their friends and have so much in common. That happened to be Scandinavian background. She came from Sweden, and they did the same things, and they had so much good fellowship in their class of senior people. And she just had no problem whatsoever pulling up stakes. And the first Sunday we had this church, she was teaching a Sunday school lesson to the city kids because she was used to leaving her comfort zone. "You're comfortable, aren't you, Ruth?" Uh-oh. Here we go again. And the issue is, so often in our day, that people really rationalize things so that they can stay in their comfort zone. And they don't want to leave it. Well, here is Abraham in his comfort zone. First of all, in Ur, and then in a place called Haran. Family, friends, familiarity, financial security. Life is good. But then we get a covenant promise. It's not an offhand promise. God doesn't make those to his people. It's a covenant promise. That means God means to see his end of the bargain established. A covenant is a berith. You've heard of the B'nai B'rith organization. Those are sons of the covenant. B'nai in Hebrew, B'rith is a Jewish organization. They're sons of the covenant. They look back to the covenant of God and take some comfort in that among our Jewish friends. Well, a covenant promise is one that God makes, as it were, by taking an oath himself. Now, I have a trial going on. I've got a month interim until we go back at it in March. I'm one of the few non-Jewish people there. And there's some Orthodox Jewish people. They don't take an oath. They affirm, solemnly affirm. Well, God took an oath himself, as we learn in the Bible. And he swears by himself, because he can't swear by anybody greater. And he swears that his promises will come true. So here we've got Abraham, familiarity, all of his friends and peers, financial security in the wealthiest city in the world, gold, silver, and not only great prosperity, but great culture. So visit the Art Institute in Chicago. Visit some great archaeological museum. See if they have any of the treasures of Ur of the Chaldees. This is about 2000 BC. The city we know of existed in 2900. But all of a sudden, a covenant promise is announced to him. And here God comes and says, I've got something special for you. Great fame. Fame is an elixir. Fame is something that is exciting for people. And Abraham wasn't looking for it, but God says, I will make thy name great. I will make thy name great. And he sure has. Jews, Muslims, Christians, all respect him as one of the greatest men of all time. And I always talk about Hebron. You can't go there now without getting your head blown off, at least as a possibility. You better have an Arab or Palestinian guide. And there is that great tomb, Abraham, our father, Sarah, our mother, in the cave of Machpelah, just on the outskirts of Hebron. And millions of people have gone to that tomb 4,000 years after this person lived. Now, we have many things from Ur of the Chaldees in museums. We don't have any people we know about except this guy. Because God made a covenant promise to him. I am going to make your name great. Great family. Now, when you're 75 years old, and you're childless, and your wife is 65 years old, and never born a child, this is a pretty incredible promise. I'm going to give you a great family. This doesn't square with biology or common sense. And by the way, when you're 75 years old, you're probably not looking to have little children around the house. You're looking to settle in. Speaking of comfort zones, that's one thing for a 19-year-old or something to go and find his fortune someplace. Another thing for a 75-year-old guy with all this familiarity, the friends, right in the middle of a great comfort zone to do anything very peculiar and different. But he says, I will make of thee a great nation. I will make of thee a great nation. So out of his loins are going to come, first of all, a family. And out of that family will come a great nation. And that nation is going to be Israel, God's special chosen people, his family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the great 12 tribes. He is going to be the greatest of fathers, because out of him will come a very, very special family and nation. And he'll have what we can call a great future, because he is going to be a channel or funnel of blessing to the entire world. This is my North and South America. That's Asia. That's Africa. I don't think I had to explain it, but just in case any of you don't know your geography, they don't teach that in schools nowadays. Out of him will come a blessing for the entire world. Well, that's pretty special. When God comes to you and says, I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will bless them, you bless you. Curse them, I curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham's blessing is not simply going to be a narrow little rivulet after a rainstorm in the gutters before what goes down the sewer. It's going to be this huge widening stream that will bring blessing to the entire world. Now, Stephen tells us a little bit about how convincing God was when he talks about this in the book of Acts, because he has special inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And he says that God came unto him with great glory, and showed the great glory that lay ahead for him. Now, there is, however, a clear precondition. And the condition on this particular promise is an act of obedience to leave his comfort zone. He cannot find God's richest blessings by settling in, by being comfortable, by being familiar, by being with all of his family and friends, by being financially secure. He is going to have to leave his comfort zone in a remarkable way and obey God if he wants to inherit God's promises, if he wants to be somebody special. Now, you go through all church history and you find that all the greatest people in church history in very special ways left their comfort zone. Paul was very comfortable, member of the Sanhedrin, an up-and-coming Jew, a scholar, a man who knew the law, a man who might have been headed for the greatest leadership of the nation. And all of a sudden, he went to being persecuted outside of his comfort zone, hounded, beaten, stoned for Christ. The Cambridge Seven were seven of the wealthiest young students in all of England at Cambridge University. And they heard the needs of China. And they left their stately homes in England. They forsook that great prestigious education they had and a secure future in England and headed out to China, the language they couldn't speak, the cultures they were unaware of, the clothes they'd never worn, the people they'd never seen. They left their comfort zone and did great things for God. And here, Abraham has this unbelievable set of promises. Unfortunately, he couldn't have them in his comfort zone. And so many Christians will get to heaven, and they'll go to the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll have some rewards, they'll have some very good things, but then they'll see, I think, flashed in heaven, what they could have had if they just didn't settle in to something that was comfortable for them and their families. I know Bill Gothard, when I was in Sacramento last time, we were having lunch together, and he said one of the things that he fears even today is that he'll get to heaven and God will show him all the things that he could have done if he had just a little more faith. And so he's always a little insecure in the sense of, not in his salvation, but are there opportunities that I'm passing up because I'm just not seeing what God wants me to see? Now, what did this involve? Well, first of all, it involved a decision. All of God's calls start with a decision. When Jesus came to his comfortable Galilean disciples, they had their little fishing business that was apparently pretty prosperous. If you go to a place called Migdal, where Magdalen comes from, you'll see the fishing boat from the first century that might well have been Peter's fishing boat. Beautifully preserved, dated to that time. There weren't that many ships or fishing boats of that size. And so might have been his or just like what Jesus went in. They had a very nice fishing business. And Levi had a very nice tax collecting business. He was making a lot of dough. Others were just tradesmen, but they had a very comfortable place in Galilee. And before you know it, they'd be sleeping with a rock for a pillow. And they'd be working 16-hour days trying to keep up with Jesus as he went around ministering to people. And they were out of their comfort zone. But it started with a decision. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they had to leave their comfort zone. And when Paul was knocked down on the road to Damascus, Ananias was sent to him by God to show him what kind of things he would suffer for Jesus' sake. Because Paul, having a very comfortable life, would never have a comfortable life again. It was one of the things he had to forsake. And Abraham, having a comfortable life, would never have a comfortable life again. Never. Oh, God would take care of him. He'd be prosperous. He'd have wonderful joys, but he would never have had them if he hadn't made a decision. The decision is to obey God. Just at all. As it says, thus saith the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted on him for righteousness. And so he made a decision that was uncomfortable. If God said it, I better do it. I don't understand it, but I'll do it. That decision meant a departure. He left behind family, friends, a good part of his fortune, and he journeyed south, journeyed toward the south. If you look at a map of the Middle East, you see, I draw it for you, but I just don't want you to envy my map-making skills. There's Damascus, and then there's Ur over here, and he heads south down to present Israel. And the interesting thing about this particular departure is that he doesn't know the destination. They say flattery will get you everywhere. And the answer to that is, where's everywhere? Where are you going? I don't know. God said, look, Damascus is a great old city. Follow me, obey me, go to Damascus. Okay, I understand. There's a trade route that'll take me there. Go to Nineveh. Go to Babylon. Go to some other Sumerian city. God says, depart, and I will show you where you need to go. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So therefore, he's going to a place when he doesn't know the destination. But he does know the importance of obeying God. And the important thing here in Abraham's life is a decision that leaves the comfortable place on the strength of God's covenant promises. It's said that God favors the brave. And there is a tremendous gravitational pull for people to be comfortable. And what God shows us in Abraham is that there was never a guy who had a more comfortable place than he had. I mean, he was just... I mean, even my mother in her Sunday school class at the Free Church didn't have a more comfortable place than Abraham had. And suddenly, there was the, uh-oh, pretty comfortable here, right? Well, you're going to people you don't even know. You're going to a different culture. You're going to a different language. You're going to a different place. And by the way, I'm not even going to give you the comfort of knowing where you're going to end up. That's what Jesus told his disciples. Follow me. Where are you going, Lord? Come, I'll show you. You mean leave my table of taxes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come. You mean drop my fisherman's net where I'm having a good little business with my dad? Yep. Drop it. Let's go. See, anybody who follows the command to repent is doing something uncomfortable. Because that means a whole change of life, whole change of heart, a whole new beginning, a whole new start. And that's what God loves. People who believe him enough to go to some place they find uncomfortable. Well, there's the departure, and then there is the discipline. The discipline of following God. Just day by day, week by week, year by year. You see, Abraham's entire life will be a series of decisions and departures that require significant discipline. Left the cool, cozy comforts of the greatest city of the time, Ur of the Chaldees. He gets as far as Haran. He settles in, builds friendships, builds networks, settles down, feels comfortable. God says, oop, got to get moving. And then he gets to the promised land. And when he gets to the promised land, he's got to separate from Lot. And there's another separation. He was comfortable with Lot and with his people. Another step. His whole life was a series of decisions and departures for God. Hebrews talks about this when it says that he sought for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, the true Christian hero is a person who's a pilgrim on this earth. And nothing is more uncomfortable than being a pilgrim. Betsy said to me, do you realize how much work is involved in getting everything ready for Florida? The correct answer to that is no. Take it from me. If you say, sure, I know. No, no. Oh, no, it's really... What is? It's tremendous. You got to pack all the bags. You got to figure out what's going on. You got to plan your menus and who's going to be here when. Kids are coming here, going there. That's a lot to do. Not comfortable. There's some nice things involved in being in Florida for a little while, but there is a lot of discomfort for a pilgrim. And all of a sudden, when you get there and you put away the stuff and you settled in and you bought your groceries for a little bit, you get a little more comfortable. But there's a tremendous discipline in life in being a pilgrim and not having roots in this world and not settling in. And so many people, if they leave Ur and settle in Haran, they say, I am out of the discomfort business. I followed God. I want to settle in here. And the idea that you never settle in with God, you always look for his call. Because you know his covenant promises have an inherent condition. And the inherent condition of all God's promises is serving, following, being a disciple of Christ, and being willing to be a pathbreaker and leave your comfort zone, your comfort food, your comfort friends, your comfort lifestyle, and do what God calls you to do. So here we go. A great, great hero. As Richard T. LaPierre, the great sociologist, said, every great hero is ultimately a path breaker. And everybody who breaks a path has a tolerance for discomfort and leaving their comfort zone. And every Christian who starts along the path of salvation makes a decision that's uncomfortable. To trust Christ for salvation, to repent of his sins, to be different from the world, to come out and trust Christ wholly for his spiritual life. Everyone who wants to be sanctified, more holy, is going to be involved in a series of difficult personal issues and decisions to apply Christ's truth to every area of his life. And every Christian who takes seriously the call to serve God with everything they've got is going to be called out of his comfort zone to witness for Christ, to do things for Christ that are not comfortable for him. But the great news is that's the way to get the best of God's covenant promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for this man, Abraham. We thank thee that he believed God. He believed God enough to obey God, make decisions for God, to make departures for God, have the daily discipline of following God. We pray that we may do that as well. Lord, we see here today so many individuals, all of whom have an equal opportunity to do something heroic, to do exploits, to make their life count, to leave something behind, and to have something waiting for them in the future. As it says, the Lord is going to come with rewards in his hand. And Lord, we pray that each one might maximize their own potential for the living God by leaving their comfort zone. Lord, I pray that if anyone here doesn't know the Lord, they'll come and make that first difficult decision to leave the comfort zone of this world and come out for Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.